Well, Christopher Pappas has seemed to have been on the scene for ages now. He's only 32 years old, but the executive mayor of the Mgeni municipality in KZN has had quite an interesting journey. We're going to catch up with him today on how things are going in that province for the premier candidate of the Democratic Alliance. Chris, I say a lot's happened. My goodness. Since we last spoke, the chief whip of the DA in your municipality was murdered. Before we go into more pleasant issues, have you had an update? Have the murderers been found?
Yeah, so there's the official update from the police, and then there's what we know. Good afternoon, first of all. I haven't seen you in a long time. As you know, the DA is working with private investigators on this as well. A donor came forward and said they would offer R1 million for information that would lead to an arrest. So that's allowed us to work with AfriForum, with their investigative body, with Harry Null and his team. And they've been working sort of parallel to what the police are doing. And that is to keep constant pressure on the case. What we saw at the end of last week, Thursday, Friday last week, was a wanted notice put out by the police. And that's sort of a big breakthrough. It's put a face to some of the crime in the area. And one of the crimes that is linked is this particular murder. So we are hopeful that that progress is being made. We don't think that progress would have been made if it wasn't for this team working in the background, who's highly professional and very skilled. We are still hopeful for justice, and it's not just this particular case that is linked to sort of criminal activity, but there's a number of crimes around that area that all seem to lead back to the same person, same place.
Nhlala Yenza Ndlovu, was he in any way politically involved? In other words, we've known that in KZN in particular, political assassinations happen quite often. Was there anything to do with politics in his murder?
So yes and no. I mean, he exists and works within the political space, and the motivation for the murder itself is believed to be linked to our ongoing program as a municipality to reduce sort of organized crime around electricity theft and other municipal infrastructure related issues. But within this mixture, that's where the politics comes in. ANC councillors instigating, spreading misinformation. The person who we think ordered the crime is also very politically involved. His superior is also very politically involved. So it's not necessarily DA versus ANC or IFP or whatever that sort of a situation. But it really does involve politicians as a whole.
It's very dangerous occupation to be in the political sphere in South Africa, but also at the moment very turbulent, particularly in your province. We've seen the emergence of Jacob Zuma into the fray, the MK party getting a lot of support according to the pollsters. We have a piece on Biz News today where R.W. Johnson has tracked back a media organization that's supporting MK being funded by the Kremlin. So it's big stuff that's going on there. Perhaps you can give us some insight from your perspective on exactly how this is all playing out, given that you are the premier candidate for your party in the province.
Yeah, so it's a very, very interesting times in politics in KZN. I think it's always been an interesting province. I usually call it a bit of an outlier. A lot of the English media attention is usually driven by Gauteng and the Western Cape. And we have in KZN this different phenomenon where the majority language here is Zulu. So there's a whole different sort of narrative, a whole different discussion that takes place here in KZN that often misses the English and Afrikaans media that happens at a national level, which is interesting when you're on the ground. So again, polls are a glimpse in time, and different people have different opinions on them. But I think what has emerged is that the MK has gained a lot of traction in this province, and you can actually see it on the ground. You see their motorcades, you see their banners, you see their T-shirts in places where you wouldn't expect them. And it's all over the province. It's not just sort of in the urban areas or in the big centers. The ANC is not as visible as it usually is on the ground. Their big sort of door-to-door campaigns are much smaller than they usually are. I mean, we've still got a couple of weeks before the election, and they're good at pushing out numbers 2 or 3 weeks before that. But really not as much campaigning that we've seen from them. The IFP, a huge focus in the north of the province, sort of, beyond Ballito upwards. And into the traditional Zululand area, and the DA gaining traction in a lot of different communities. So our traditional sort of support base has remained strong here, and this new appetite within sort of peri-urban and rural areas, which we've seen, which is very interesting and very it's very hopeful for our growth. But yeah, it's such an interesting time in KZN. Every time you think things are stabilizing, something profound in our sense happens. Whether it's snatching of a mic or the Zulu King issuing a statement or someone losing a by-election. So there's always these things that are thrown in to keep a political conversation going here.
And as far as you're concerned, being fluent as you are in isiZulu, does that give you an insight perhaps that people who don't have that connection or that understanding would not have?
I think, yes, it does. I mean, as I said, we have the majority of the population in this province is isiZulu speaking. So whether it's engaging with isiZulu media, whether it's engaging with isiZulu influencers or people who drive popular culture, whether it is just being with communities, you're able to gather a sense of what the political landscape is. And I think more so than before here in sort of maybe 2014 and again 2019 is that there's a better understanding by everyone in KZN about the power of the vote. There's this loyalty that was given to the ANC sort of back in 2004 and beyond. It has waned. People have changed their votes in different municipalities. People have, we've seen a lot of municipalities shift hands. We've seen different political parties arise, the ABC, MK, and a number of other parties, NFP. So KZN, more than a lot of provinces, people change their vote when the message is compelling enough for people to do so. And I think the ability to engage with that segment of the population really does help.
But that's very, very constructive, Chris. If you think about a democracy where people are no longer blindly following a party because it is the favorite football team, but in fact, because they know what the party can do for them. And I guess there might be more maturity amongst the population than many people, or particularly many pollsters, are giving it credit for.
Yeah, without shooting down political analysts, I mean, they've got a role to play in our political discourse. But I think a lot of the time when you're actually on the ground, when you're speaking to people, when you're in communities, when you have to deal with complaints, when you're in people's homes, you get a very different understanding of what the average South African is feeling like. And in KZN, that's obviously a bit different. And I think there's a number of different things. I mean, this idea that democracy can change your future, in other words, your vote has an impact on your life circumstances. I think people are realizing that more and more. I think the narratives around race are weaker in this election. The apartheid's going to come back, and all of this sort of propaganda that's usually put out, and so there's a different feeling and a different conversation that's happening to what usually happens on during elections. There's a gap as well. A lot of what is happening in KZN is personality driven. There's relatively little conversation about plans. You usually vote for a political party because there's some sort of track record or they've got a plan to fix something. But there's a lot of personality politics that's taking place in KZN, and figures that most people in the national stage don't know about, whether it's PG Mavundla or, everyone knows Jacob Zuma, but we have our local characters who carry some sort of command or influence over political discussions, and those are always interesting to participate in. That all lends to a changing political landscape.
What about the Zulu King? Does he have great influence, and indeed does he endorse any party or any candidate?
So no, he's made his position clear, and many of his Amakhosi and Isandlwana do the same. They will say, listen, we allow free campaigning, we don't take any sides. But I think what we have seen is, I think he got off to a bit of a rocky start in the beginning, like you would expect any new leader who's taking over something so big with such a big history. Yeah, and possibly had some of the wrong people around him at the time, whether it was a spokesperson or others. And I think he's really found himself now as a leader. He's got good people around him, or at least people who are giving him better advice. And he's able to be more authoritative in sort of putting down the views of the Zulu royal household, as opposed to having to pander to political parties as they flop and change their decisions and try to appeal to him for more political acknowledgement, I guess, which is great. I think that it shows that he's finding himself in his new role, and that it is also redefining the Zulu monarchy in this province, which for a while has been beholden, or seemingly beholden, to the provincial government, who's a large funder of the of the activities of the household. But yes, I think in terms of his influence over what people think and say, and what the sort of popular topics are, when he does engage, when he does voice his concerns about things, people do stop and listen in KZN.
At the BizNews conference, R.W. Johnson let slip ahead of ENCA's poll, which he's looking after, that the ANC was down to 13% in KZN. That is something that has been reinforced elsewhere as well. And he said that if you didn't know better, you would think that this was the province that was about to secede. Rather, forget about Cape independence. At KZN, with only 13% to the national government, it appears as though there's a very different view that happens in the province. Now, when you look at that from the way forward and the breakdown of the different parties, where it seems like it's going to be quite difficult for any coalition to get, or any obvious coalition to get control, are you seeing that being a stress in the future, or being at least a demand for greater devolution of power for that province?
I think yes and no. I think there's a lot of political agreement across all parties in KZN. I mean, we are a big province, so that has a lot of national influence. So there is a lot of agreement across different political parties for a call for devolution of different powers. The Gauteng ANC has called for a devolution of policing powers not so long ago. That's something that the DA is obviously pushing hard for in both the Western Cape, and as part of my pledges to the voters here. And there's a number of different things that we're asking for. Local government, I know that the ANC here is calling for greater devolution to local government. The IFP wants more power. I mean, they're a federal party as well. So yes, I think there is a broad consensus amongst political parties in KZN that provinces need more power. Obviously, that needs to be done in a way that doesn't undermine national government. It needs to be done in a way that keeps the unified state, and it needs to be done in a way that doesn't support incompetence. You don't want to devolve power to an incompetent government. In other words, a government that is not capable of delivering. So while the notion might be the same, the practicalities of devolving those different powers are different. But I do think that there is a sense of unity amongst KZN in voters. That KZN is a different province. We have our own history. We have our own problems to deal with. We have our own unique traditional structures of leadership that we have to deal with. We have obviously the Ingonyama Trust. We have the IFP and the ANC history. So there is definitely a unique identity that the people of KZN feel and see for themselves across different racial backgrounds, religious backgrounds. There really is a sense of being in KZN. The polls are interesting. A glimpse in time. They've got margins of error. How you calculate them all differs. But I think what we're seeing is exactly what you're saying, is that an almost complete collapse of the ANC in this province, which is the ANC stronghold, really. It's their birthplace. It's their stronghold. And it is, I would be worried if I were them. I don't think they're going to end up as bad as people, some of the worst polls have them at. It's still a very big organization with a long history and deep structures. But the MK in particular has done some serious, serious damage to the ANC in this province.
What about you personally? Because you are the provincial premier candidate. So how does that all work? Could you just explain that to us?
So I'm number one on the KZN list, which means that the first seat that is allocated towards the DA in the provincial legislature is mine. And that's party policy. Usually the premier candidate ends up number one on the list. So does the party's presidential candidate. That's going to be interesting to see where the results end. You know, will I be premier in a DA outright majority? Will I be a premier in a coalition? Will I be an MEC in a government where we are a minority partner? Or will we have to go to the opposition benches to keep doing the good work there? So that's what we're pushing for the 29th.
So it does mean that you're going to be leaving your position as the executive mayor of Mngeni.
Well, yes. So if I take up a position in the legislature, whether it is in opposition or in government, it would mean that I'd have to step down as mayor.
You don't feel that the job isn't quite done? I was looking at Good Governance Africa, and you've surged up the charts, but still 55 in the country. I'm sure you would have liked to have been number one in the country before you handed over the reins. Do you have someone competent to give it to? Are you comfortable that you've done as much as you can?
No, I mean the job's not done. There's still a lot more to do. There's lots of issues that we have to resolve with finances, with infrastructure backlogs, and those have to be solved. So the work isn't done. But to have a sympathetic, competent working provincial government, if I get the opportunity to do that, to bring what I've learned, especially around local government where the bread and butter of service delivery is, then I think that not only helps the DA and people of Mngeni, but it also helps other small municipalities across KZN who feel, you know, the provincial government in this province, if you're not an ANC-run municipality, you get constant love letters, you're getting, you know, constantly scrutinized, you never get assistance or very seldom get assistance. And to have a government that looks beyond just political lines to make local government work, to make our small towns and cities work, so I think will be helpful for KZN in general. But yes, I'm not alone. I work with a great team of very competent councillors that, you know, stretch from rural to urban, from old to young, women, men, learned people, life experience people. So it really is a capable team. And my deputy mayor has, over the last sort of 28 months, found himself in having a lot more responsibility, especially now in the last sort of 5 or 6 months with campaigning. And we've also built a good staff team. There's a good staff component in the municipality. We've got rid of 9 senior managers. We filled a lot of, I think we've hired 42 staff members, many of those with very specialized qualifications around engineering or legal or whatever it might be. And that is starting to see the municipality move in a way where us as those who do political oversight don't have to be involved in you know, sort of nitty gritty day-to-day stuff, but things are starting to flow more easily.
So you got the template. There it is, almost like the DA has got the template of the Western Cape for the rest of the country. What's your campaign in KZN? How are you positioning yourself as the premier candidate that will attract voters to your party?
So there's a few things. I think the first thing is that I'm working in a space with much older people. And there's a large segment of the population in KZN who sort of feels left behind, that the people who have been in charge for a long time, I think what John uses the expression, the same people at the same table making the same decisions, who have been there a very long time, and people are looking for something new, but something not just new, but something that has been tested. And I think that's the first thing. So I'm young, but not too young, not too old. The tested part is, well, I'm in government. I'm running a municipality. I'm trying to fix something that is broken, and there are visible signs of it getting better. The other thing is then, I mean, sort of the DA is an institution. We're the only other political party that runs a province in this country. So in terms of like for like, you can compare our ANC-run KZN to the DA-run Western Cape. And of course, there's still problems in the Western Cape, and they have their challenges to solve. But on a comparative basis, there are things that are happening there that are not happening here. So you can make that comparison to people. at the end of the day is that we've actually got a credible plan, credible message. You know, what are our solutions to water? Well, we got through day zero and we've learned lessons there. What are our solutions to crime? Well, we're implementing them in a different part of the country and in a municipality. Infrastructure, all the rest of the things that are problems as a province. So I think that's the main message, is that we are tried and tested. We have a candidate who is young, dynamic, can actually go out there and engage across different communities, whether it's rural, urban, black or white, whatever it might be. And that we are a party that is even in this province, tested our own policies to try and turn things around.
So a message of hope rather than fear.
Absolutely. We really do try to stay away from engaging in other political party bashing. We try and most, if you go into my campaign, if you go onto any of the provincial platforms, we're saying, you know, it is about hope. For the very first time, we have an opportunity to change government in this province. You know, sort of, we had what we had after democracy. We've had the same thing for a very long time now. Now we're once again given that opportunity. So it's about hope and winning. I think everyone likes to be part of a winning team. And in KZN, we have an opportunity for people to be part of a winning team, whether it's winning against unemployment or winning against infrastructure backlogs or winning the election. We have a credible path to change the circumstances of what we have. We have great communities here in KZN. Just doesn't Margate yesterday, communities, businesses come out to fix their roads and the beaches that have washed away. And it happens everywhere. We just really have great people, great communities who look after each other. And people want to harness that to rebuild our province.
Now, Helen Ziller and John Steenhuisen have been asked many times about their coalition partners in the future. But let's look at it on a provincial level. Would the DA in KZN make its own decisions, or would it have to come from the Federal Council? For instance, if you, the IFP and the ANC, had enough votes to get above 51%, theoretically, just hypothetically, is that something that you as the Premier candidate would make a decision on, and would you go into coalition with those partners, or would it have to come from somebody else?
So how we work is that we try and remove people from the decision-making process who have a vested interest. In other words, you know, I really want to be Premier. So if someone comes to say to me, can I make a government work with whoever it might be, I'm going to tell you, yes, it might be really difficult and I might not be able to see through some of the fog. So what we do is that we have provincial actors, whether it is the provincial leader or the provincial chairperson, whoever it might be, who are involved in the negotiations. But those people form part of a much broader national team as well. At the end of the day, we are a party that has a national footprint. And what we don't want to do is have decisions made at a provincial level, even at a local level, that compromise the values of the organization, the long-term strategic views of the organization, our promises to voters, our promises to partners, like in the multi-party charter. So yes, it's a bit of a mixture, but I don't get involved directly. My opinion is solicited. My inputs are involved in there. But at the end of the day, it is a national and provincial function to go and put that together, considering all the other discussions that happen around other provinces and our pledges to voters. I think we've made it absolutely clear that the ANC is not a partner that we can work with at the moment. It is. Why would we work so hard to remove someone from government, only to then, you know, go back into government with him? IFP is a bit different. We are actively trying to work with IFP. We have been even before the multi-party charter, with two main objectives. One is to remove the ANC from government, but the other is then to actually make sort of multi-party politics work. We started with the service delivery agreement here in this province before the multi-party charter. And that was, how do you take organizations with independent identities and independent voter bases that are trying to grow themselves, but at the same time, not compromise on each other's ability to hold each other accountable, but then also to do so constructively. Where there are problems, let's try to fix them before we engage in the sort of politics that we've seen over the last 30 years.
Christopher Pappas is the Premier candidate for the Democratic Alliance for KwaZulu-Natal, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.